do what we can. Maybe we'll try to start a little bit earlier on Sunday, so we can catch up a little bit more. Okay, but for today, what I'd like to do is to do the discussion of Kesed Bingo Reis and Rabban. I think the last time that we met, like a few months ago?
No.
The last time that we met was we discussed the question. We went through the Shakavatari of the Gemara. Maybe we'll finish, we'll fill in some of that Shakavatari, whatever we left out, a little bit more on Sunday. But what we mostly were trying to accomplish was to try to, put our finger on whether or not the muck of the different Mekoros, whether we learn Kesef from Yatzachina Mein Kasef or from Kicha Kicha, was consequential in terms of the role or the nature of Kinyan Kesef, how central it is, whether it's part of the Maisa Kiddushin and it characterizes Kiddushin as a Kinyan, or it's more just of a kind of a something that also works, or is a technical halacha, and more about compensation. How does the father receiving Kesef Kiddushin, how does that, in the case of obviously Iktana, how does that fit in with her normally receiving Kesef Kiddushin in the case of the Gedola? Again, the more we think that the Kiddushin is a typical one in the case, there's no chalos ishas shel ketana, but there's just a din of Kiddushe, a regular din of Kiddushin, so it's peculiar that v'yatzachinim ein kasef, ein kesef adon zeh, v'yesh kesef adon acher v'haynu av, would really be the makar. If we say that, Kiddushin is a different chalos when it comes to Kiddushei Ketana, and there's some evidence for that, certainly, then maybe some of the discrepancies are not as significant. I'm trying to remember, I think, was it Josh who told me something about a Pnei Yeshua? Yeah? So Josh, I think, mentioned to me something that we had considered in the beginning of the sugya, which would be very appealing and would solve a lot of problems, but it doesn't sound that way from the Shakavatari and the Bavli, and that is that maybe there are two psukim, because really there are two dinim, right? That's what he says? That the kicha kicha is the makor for kiddushei kesef in a typical case where the ktana is an adult. They threw you out of your seat when I was gone?
No, transported me. I don't remember doing any transporting.
But I'm back. I'm here to protect your interests from Ellie. Just sit where you're supposed to. See, Shua got drafted, and Joey got bounced from his seat. You go away for 3-4 days, and the whole world changes. Anyways, so the Pnei Yeshua's idea is that, again, that for a typical regular Kiddushin, the makor would be Kicha Kicha Miste Afron, and maybe for Kiddushei Ketana, it would be V'yatzachinam in Kasef. Again, it doesn't work so well in the Bavli, in my opinion, but I think it is a very nice idea, and especially it would be particularly nice if it wasn't just, a gili milsa that it goes to his bank account. We still have to talk more about that. In other words, if Kiddushei Isha Ketana is a typical Ishus, the only thing is that she's not a Gedola, so there's kind of like a super apotropos, for the interests of the Ketana, namely the father, but he's really always acting on her behalf. So then the gili milsa, who gets the money? It goes into like an automatic, maslul in the bank accounts. You put it in her bank, but it goes to his bank, and so on, because they're, it's like when you're, you go to the bank, right? Then you can have like custodian accounts, Anyways, so the, if that's really all it is, that would be one thing. But it's even better, obviously, if the idea would be that there's something called chalos ishus lektana, and therefore you have a different makar. And part of the story of Chalos Isha Shel Ketana is the Yitzia Mershus Ha'av, who is a competing rights holder with the Baal in the case of the Ketana, and therefore there would be two different dinim. Either way, that idea in general is something I believe that we demonstrated already in the a little bit in the Talmud Rajba and one of the other makoros that we had in the Kamai, meaning the idea that maybe there are two requirements, maybe there's kesef to the father, but you still have a mina that you might have required a separate kinyan for the isha in addition, or whether the kesef shtarubia in that, you know, case wouldn't be different in terms of some of the dinim. But either way, I think the bigger point that we're trying to make is that if the makor is kicha kicha b'stei afron, so then it's much easier to explain that kesef and the maisa kinyan in kesef is part of the hagdara of the ishus, because that is the main pasuk. It's ki yikach ish isha, and we're saying that the word kicha has a meaning of kinyan kesef, and that is magdir, the maisa and the chalos of the ishus, and that works very well with a lot of things we've been saying. If the makar is only viyata chinam in kesef, so again, it does establish that that there is kesef, you know, in the case of kiddushin, but since it isn't even connected to the pasuk that defines, you know, kiddushin, it's in a parsha number one of Amma, and surely that's something to think about, you know, where it is, and therefore what kind of payment it is. It's, you know, what would have been la'adon zeh, but is la'adon acher v'hainu ha'av. That already gives it a certain connotation, if we're not just looking at, is it a gili milsa limud. And it's also important, if we didn't explain it better before, where it's not. In other words, it's not a parsha of, and certainly not a hagadara of kiddushin or of ishus, like ki'ikach isha is. So then, when the Gemara had this tzrichasa in the end, and they were talking about, well, what, you know, had you gone the v'yatzachinam route, what would you have thought? Had you gone kicha kicha, what would you have thought? And then there's machlokas harishonim, like how far would you go on either of the things that the Gemara really seems to be considering, or especially the idea that, you know, what about umrahi, what about even perhaps a nasnahi, you know, and the lashonos of some of the rishonim. So instead of just saying, again, one way to look at the, I don't want to, you know, stack the deck too much. I do want to stack the deck a little, but not too much. Again, the other way to look at all this is that, and this, we'll talk about this now in the next part of our topic in a second, is that it's all, you know, limudim and giluye milsa, you know, to teach us the facts of the halacha, to know what the halacha is and how we derive it, or what the havaminas were, maybe are less important if you look at it from that point of view. So what havamina there would have been, you know, had it only written v'yatzachinim or only written ki'ikach ishisha, is probably, you know, a lot less important in the end of the day than the fact that the maskana, you know, brings us back to all the dinim that we're familiar with in ishus. But what I was trying to suggest was that, you know, given that there are other elements to all this as well, namely the other things that we just talked about. So the idea that v'yatzachinam ein kasef is one kind of a limud and one kind of a kinyan kidushe kasef, whereas kicha kicha is a different one. So then these havaminas really loom very large, and they themselves seem to be exactly connected to the issue that we're talking about, namely how do we look at kinyan kasef? Is it something that happens to work, or is it something that is really like a major hagdara and part of the maisa kedusha, not just, you know, a kinyan or a reality that goes? So that's kind of where we were, and then we were talking about whether or not you know, kinyan kesef, again the havamina, you know, that it would go to her even if he was the one deciding. We have to talk more about that, the question of exactly his relationship with her, whether or not we would have treated kesef kiddushin in the same way that we would treat ma'isi adayim and make the kal v'chomer, you know, if he can sell her as an amma ivriya, right? So certainly gets her ma'isi adayim, that the Gemara says. Do you have a similar kind of a perspective when it comes to kiddushe kesef? Right? So there, we pointed out that Tosas has that line where Tosas says, well, no, maybe kiddushe kesef is a different kind of kalos. It's not like ma'isi adayim. Whereas the Ramban also gave an answer to that question, but almost from the opposite perspective, and that is, well, you know, that's a good svara, except that if you're going to use that svara, then, you know, you should say, you know, ein, you know, ein labal, you know, ela, you know, masha yeshlo, you know, masha biyado lasos. So just as when it comes to ma'isi adayim, right, he can't sell her beyond the point where he'd receive her ma'isi adayim. So then wouldn't you think that when it comes to ishus also, he can't be Makadosher beyond the point where he has the capacity you know, to be Mekadesh her on her own. In other words, a Kiddushin which is going to continue until this, you know, until she's already a Bogeres, you know, shouldn't apply. So it's just a it's coming to the same thing, but from a totally opposite perspective. There's a discussion in some of the Rishonim, and again, in terms of how to read the Gemara, when the Gemara says, you know, Mamona mi Isura lo yalfinan, right? So what is that referring to? So in Pashtos, it's referring to, you know, things like Hafaras Adarim and Knossos, you know, and things of that sort. Knossos Yafinan. One of the days in the Rishonim is that, no, maybe even if we're talking about Kesef Kiddushin, we're saying Mamona Mi'isura, you know, Lo Yalfina. Calling Kesef Kiddushin, in other words, Isura, rather than Mamona. So again, how does Kesef Kiddushin become Isura, not Mamona? But I'm sorry?
What's the Mamona then?
The Gemara by Sedayim. Right? The Gemara says, why didn't, doesn't the Gemara have the... I think that's how it goes. One second. But the way you're asking it makes, you know, makes me want to look at it again. Yeah. The Gemara says, V'chiyimka yishas bita li'ama, ma'ama ma'isedeh al-rabba, ba'asai ma'isedeh al-aviyah. So the Gemara says, tepeklai midrabe be'saviyah. Right, and you should learn Ma'isedayim from Minureha Beisavia, Binureha Beisavia, right? From Binureha Beisavia. So the Gemara says no, because Ela Bafaris Nadarim Udasiv. So the Gemara says Hakanami Bafaris Nadarim Udasiv. Right. The Pashto says the Gemara is saying the same thing about Ma'isedayim, the same thing about Kiddushin, right? Dasiv, and then the Gemara says V'chitem Ne'elaf Minam Mamona Misura Loyalfinan. So most Rishonim understand. That we're saying is that Kiddushin and Ma'isi Adayim cannot be derived from Hafaris Nadarim. There's one day in the Rishonim, in the Kamai, I'm trying to remember which one in the moment, that says, no, we're trying to figure out whether or not you could learn Ma'isi Adayim from Kiddushin. That's the question. And the answer is, no, Mamona Misur Le'ofina. So I ask you, if you had to characterize, is Kesef Kiddushin Mamona or is Kesef Kiddushin Isura? Right? That's a very interesting question. Just as, you know, whether comparing it to Ma'isei Adayim vis-a-vis the Mechira, you know, La'ama is an interesting question. All these are issues, I think, that are very relevant to what we have been discussing. So again, we're going to discuss it a little bit more, especially this whole conundrum that the Rishonim point out, which is that we learn Boshas Ubgam, seems like, according to the Gemara in Ksuvis, that we learn Boshas Ubgam goes to the father from the fact that he has the capacity, Lemasra, Lemenuval, Ulemuka Shchin. Right? Doesn't sound like he'd be father of the year if he did that, but, right? But, it sounds from the Gemara here like maybe the Gemara wants to learn from Boshas Ubgam that there's Kesef, that he has the right to be Mekadesher and that he receives the Kesef. So all the Rishonim, of course, are bothered by that. Seems very circular. If the reason that you get Boshas Ubgam is because he can be Mekadesher, then you can't learn the fact that he can be Mekadesher and that he's the Bailim Linyan Mamon from Boshas Ubgam. So again, the way that Rishonim, the Ramban, the Ritva, the Balei Tosfos, where they answer that question, seems to go again to this core of this question: what is the father's relationship really to his ketana daughter, and why does he have this ability to be mekadesher and to get the money? Is it because he's just like her super apotropos, or is it because he's really the bailim, or is it something in between? And that surely again is relevant to this makar v'yatzachinam in kasam. So we have a little more to do on that, and a little more about zera zara. But mostly we've gone through the Shakla Vitaria, and we'll just try to fill in a couple of blanks on Sunday. But I want to do now is discuss a little bit about Kesef being Doraisa Rabban. Because the simple pshat of our Gemara, of course, is that how far do people get through the Mar Makomos? I assume the Rambam part for sure. What did you do next? Shava Kesef Ke Kesef? Okay, and then after that, the status of the definition of Shava Kesef a little bit or not?
Yeah. And then
Isuri Hanah / Shava Pruta V'Madai or not?
That was next.
Not all of us.
Which one?
I don't know if everyone got that far, but the next after Agar Shabbat Bruta was a little bit about Beis Shammai, and then Yisrael Hanah.
I'd stop you if I
and then Chashin and Shammai Shabbat Bruta.
Oh, that's the order that we did.
That was the order that.
Okay, good. So we can do in that order. Yeah. Okay, great. So let's start with the Dibre Sofrim, because mostly we've done the Shaka Vitaria, and on Sunday I'll probably just, again, add in just a couple of more points. But you get the idea of what the Shaka Vitaria issue is about, and I just want to speak very quickly also, as I think I said, about Zera, Zara, you know, Bnei Vanim a little bit, because it comes up here. A few other little things that come up as well. Right. So let's talk about Dibre Sofrim, Rambam Tzot. So, again, we've been discussing Kedusha Kesef. And the Makar, Kicha Kicha Misteafron or Viyatzachinam in Kasef, and whether or not these are two different, like the Pnei Yeshua, which I like very much, but again, simple pshat in our Gemara, Tuli Mudim, it sounds like it could be a fundamental argument in the Gemara itself as to, as maybe also reflected by the Tzrichusa, you know, as terms of the nature of it and so on. Let's not also forget things that we mentioned already, which is that the first Shakla Vitaria in the Masechta zeroes in on the language of Kinyan and connects that to Kesef, Kinyan Kesef, that the Rishonim already had a tough time by saying, like, why only Kesef? Isn't Shtar and Bia also Kinyan? And there are different views in Rishonim on to explain that, meaning either to draw the line only at Kesef for, as Kinyan, or the Kinyan, you know, esque, you know, emphasis, or Kinyan, or it's Kesef and Shtar. Or is it even Kesef Shtar Bia? And then the point is that the Kesef is just more Mefurash as a Kenyan or as a Lashon Kenyan? And how that particularly worked out with the Rambam, who, you know, really doesn't just see this as some sort of a technical Shakla Vitaria in the Gemara, but, you know, one of the first things that he emphasizes in Hilchos Ishus, and then again in Hilchos Melachim when he talks about Pilegesh of the Melech, is exactly the idea of Kenyan. So all of that gives us a very strong impression that that all this is Doraisa, and that Kinyan Kesef is very central at that. If you just had these, you know, the Shakla Vitaria in the beginning of the Masechta, and if you knew the Rambams about all of that, without reading, you know, too carefully the language of Halacha Beis, or Perek Gimel, Halacha Kaf, and Chav Aleph, and so on, and again, the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis through Hey Amud Aleph, there would be no reason whatsoever to think that anybody felt that Kiddush HaKesef was Drabban. If anything, we would think that it's very prominent. So prominent that it explains, right, the linguistic choice of the first Mishnah, and for the Rambam even more than that. Okay? I think that that's a fair, I'm not, you know, browbeating, that's a fair assumption. Okay, good. Moreover, let's say further, there's no information anywhere, as far as I know, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, you know, in the Tosefta, in the Medrash Halacha. Oh, that sounds pretty, in the, you know, standard and traditional Rishonim, including the Rambam, as we'll get to it in a few minutes, that implies that the Esh Esish consequence of Erusin from the Gimel Kinyanim, right, is in any way a question mark when it comes to any of the three drachim. Aisha Niknes Begimel Drachim Bekesef Bishtar Bebia, and there's no evidence in any Talmudic literature that I'm aware of which implies that there would be anything less than a full status of Eish Asish and a full Chiyuv Skila, right, or Chenek after Chuppah, in any of these circumstances. Yeah.
Doesn't Rashi say not to say like something like that by Bia?
What does Rashi say?
That since Bia is there, it's, you know, to begin with, so maybe that it's only in Ksuvus, I think.
Say that again?
In Ksuvus, I think he ends up saying...
You mean talking about Broseph Sharashi and Rashi for the moment?
Yeah, well...
We'll get to that in just a second, but I'm not sure what you mean exactly. But we'll get to that in just a second. I'm not sure what you mean. But... You talking about Rashi in Ksuvah, Stav Gimel?
Yeah, after the Rashi's question on Kesef being Drabanan, how can you name this an Esh Esish? It's only Drabanan.
If it's only Drabanan, how could... Isn't that the same question?
Meaning if the Chol is only
Drabanan. So we'll see what we mean by that. 100%. Meaning I'm only so far saying that if you look in Talmudic literature, In the broadest sense, there doesn't seem to be any indication that Kiddushei Kesef does not result in the Shem Eish HaSish and the Chiyuv Misa. Right? Whether there's something, some other explanation for that, namely, could there be a Kinyan Drabanan which leads to a Chalos Ishas Daraisas, I think that's what you're saying, that is something that we might very seriously have to consider. Right? Or maybe just that even though the indications in the literature is not that way, except for maybe the Gemara's of Afkin. Maybe that's what that Gemara really means, as we'll talk. I'm just saying, aside from interpreting Tanakh, the Kodesh Bekasbe, the Kodesh Bima, Ikele Meme, Shavir, Rabbanon, the Ibas, the Bila, Znuz, that Shakla Vitaria, in the way that Rabosa Shorashi, Uddi Imam, explain it, there is no evidence. Not like there's this, you know, very, like this, like, you know, a lot of, you know, peculiar, or just a lot of, you know, evidence out there that's implying that there could be an ishus with these, one of these three darche kiddushin, and it could result in a situation where there's no eshashish or no skila or no chenek, as the case may be. I'm just making that ha'ara. And that is true also, I mean, that there's no miso, that there's no need for a get, and so on. And that is true seemingly also in the Rambam, right? I mean, the Rambam is a closed work. Obviously, we're very interested in Rambam Shita. The Rambam is a closed work, and it's a halachic work. Again, I'll repeat what I've said many, many other times, which is that I strongly believe, I think it's beyond any kind of question, that it's not only a, you know, a technical guide, you know, to proper halachic observance. Nothing wrong with that, by the way, either. It's good to have a technical halachic guide to proper halachic observance. But what I'm saying is the Rambam is that, and it's so much more than that. And the personal theory part is that sometimes the Rambam will sacrifice a more efficient presentation as a technical halachic guide to observance for the sake of also being at the very same time something much more ambitious, namely a representation of the totality of Jewish law, of the halacha in all of its comprehensiveness and scope, that is presented, right, in a conceptually compelling way. Because the Rambam wants to convey not only how we paskin and probably mostly what we should do, right, I'll explain what I mean by that in a second, but even more importantly, or at the same time, wants to present the halacha conceptually as it is, which is a much greater ambition. So sometimes in his order of classification, his choice, you know, when and where he puts things, even in the language, even sometimes in not applying the details of the law of the Zman Hazeh, the Rambam will sometimes forego that if he thinks it will detract from the conceptual accurate, authentic presentation. But having said that, nicely safer v'nechazi, if the Rambam really believes, right, that there is an important nafkamina between, you know, one of the three or two of the three darkei hakidushin, then, you know, we would expect that there would be hints to that. Again, you could say, well, if he says that one of them is drabanan, then you should understand the implications. But what I'm saying in this particular case is that if you just read the Rambam, there doesn't seem to be much of a doubt that he thinks that all three darkei kedushin have the consequence of Eish HaSish, Chiyuv Misa, and so on. Right? That seems to flow from the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Ishus, right in the very beginning, right, where he says, "B'likuchen elam mitzvos aseh shel Torahim, ube'echad mishlosha dvarim ha'isha nikneis, b'kesef o b'shtar o b'biya." So far, so good. And then, of course, this is the part we need to analyze: "B'biya b'shtar min haTorah, ube'kesef midivrei sofrim." That's the right, the big question. What does that mean? And then he says, "B'likuchen elu." After again, remember the halacha starts "B'likuchen elu mitzvos aseh," right? Shel Torah, ubechad v'gimel dvarim nikneis, kesef shtar b'biya, biya b'shtar min haTorah b'kesef b'divrei sofer. And then he says, v'likuchen elu, heina nikroim kiddushin, o erusin b'chol makom. It doesn't sound like more or less one than the other, right? The isha shenichnas be'echad mishlosha dvarim elu, he hanikres mikudeshes o me'ureses. It doesn't say that one is mikudeshes drabanan and the other two are mikudeshes min haTorah. And then he says in Halacha Gimel, v'kimin shenichnas ha'isha v'nasas mikudeshes, afal pisha lo nivela v'lo nichnasa lebeis bala, hare hi eishes ish, and he doesn't say one of them is an eishes ish drabanan, right? V'haba aleha chutz mi bala chayiv misas bezdin, v'imratza legarish tzricha get. And again, he doesn't say that only two of them are chayiv misas bezdin and require a get min haTorah, and the third one requires get drabanan. And he doesn't say anything about Makas Mardus or anything like that. If you read the Rambam, Kipshuto, and, you know, then, of course, there are a lot of question marks because of what he did, which was called Kesef Midivrei Sofrim. But certainly you don't get the impression that, according to the Rambam, the consequence of having called Kesef Midivrei Sofrim impacts on either the Shame Eishes Ish or the Chiyuv Misa or the need for a get or Misa Sabal to terminate that status. Okay? I think that is a fair reading of both the Talmudic literature and of the Rambam. Which is why the fact that there is this controversy and that there, you know, are at least, you know, from two pockets out there, the possibility that Kiddushe Kesef is not Doraisa, becomes so fascinating. And of course, what are those two pockets? What are the two pockets?
Micha?
What's that?
Rebosa
of Shalrashi and the Rambam. Oh. What's the other one you're going to say? Or Rebbeinu Gershom is like Rebosa. We'll call that Rebosa of Shalrashi. Rebbeinu Gershom's formulation of Bava Basra. 100%, though, that's correct, because he has something there that's important. But Rebosa of Shalrashi / we'll call it Rebbeinu Gershom, is one pocket, and the other pocket, of course, is the Rambam's Midivrei Sofer. Now, if the truth is that in the case of both, there are people who, either in the form of a question or in the form of interpretation, really did take it literally and come to this conclusion. There are people who out there who will tell you that Rebosa of Shalrashi hold that in case of Kiddushei Kesef, that there is no skila, and that she's not an Eishes Ish Doraisa, and that really you don't need a get Doraisa, and so on. I mean, mostly in the form of people who are asking, you know, how could this be? After all, you know, it doesn't sound that way in the Talmud anywhere, right? But the implication is they're asking that because they understood that, you know, if Rebosa of Shalrashi are correct, this is the natural consequence. And the same is true for the Rambam. There are those who interpreted the Rambam's comment of Kesef Midivrei Sofrim to mean Drabanan, and Ad Kedei Kach, you know, again, either by question or interpretation, to assume that, well, he said Drabanan, so, you know, it's true that he also said all three are Eishes and all three are Misa and so on, but obviously you have to read one in light of the other. Or they thought that the continuing language of the Rambam had to do with changing his mind. We'll get back to that in a second. Maybe the Rambam, Rabbi Avraham, but the Rambam is of the opinion that the Rambam, you know, held earlier in his career that Kiddushe Kesef was Drabanan, and then he had a change of heart, and maybe the language, the change of heart is reflected in some halakhos and not in others. He didn't re-edit it sufficiently, you know, for... So anybody who's either asking or interpreting is making that assumption. I'm just pointing out that it doesn't read well at all in the Rambam, and it doesn't read well at all in Talmudic literature, not, you know, not on our daf, but also not in any other daf, frankly, in Kiddushin and Gittin and Ksuvas and so on and so forth. Yeah?
Methodologically, is there precedent for doing so, like the Rambam, other cases, like Pasuk Tehillah against like Bavli and Yerushalmi? Because there are there other cases.
I mean, Kiddushei Kesef?
Or outside of Kiddushei Kesef? You know, like,
well, we're not sure that he does in Kiddushei Kesef.
But,
and either way,
if
even
you hold that he does, like, is there other cases in there?
But even if he does hold that it's Rabbanan.
Right, which seemingly against the, you know, Yerushalmi and Bavli.
Well, no, but it's not, I mean, again, if the source, we'll get that in just one more second, but if Rabbi Avraham and Rambam was right, and I don't think that he is, But and again, not because I'm picking on him, but I just think that he's not. But in this case, and I'll explain why. But the if he was right and the Rambam's psak was based on Ksuvas of Gimelim and Aleph, then it wouldn't be against the Bavli. It would be against there would be a machlokas between different sugyas in the Bavli. So I don't think. Now, if you ask me in general, are there psakim of the Rambam that fit neither with the Bavli nor with the Yerushalmi? The answer to that question is, on the surface, yes. Right? And we've encountered many of them. Almost Maisim Shebechol. I wouldn't say Maisim Shebechol Yom. Maisim Shebechol Shavua, maybe. But my view is, and that always is, that, upon further understanding, the Rambam, would probably tell you that this is the global the conclusion that the global evidence of Shas, brings you to, and therefore even if it's at odds with a particular explicit, so what seems to be the whole evidence, because it's the explicit treatment of the topic in the Bavli, or let's say, or the Yerushalmi, but the fact is that it's connected conceptually and otherwise with other sugyas. And therefore, the other sugyas are part of the evidence too. The Rambam will never tell you, I'm going against, the Talmudic sources. Even, for example, in the Hashkafa Shir, where we talked about, the Rambam in Perek Tes Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Aleph, being based on Midrashim as opposed to being based on some of the Gemaras in Sanhedrin, I think, the Rambam wouldn't say, again, a Bavli, Yerushalmi, Mela. But I think the Rambam would be the first to say, well, you can't choose Agadatha sources over Bavli and Yerushalmi halachic sources. But I think what he would say is that there's a lot of implicit evidence that this is the right way to look at these things, and that therefore the Medrash Halacha kind of reflects that. Now that's a nuance, it's a difference in how you say it, but I think it's a very big difference in explaining this phenomenon. Okay? Okay, so let's talk about first Barbos of Shalrashi, and then let's talk about the Rambam. Okay, so Ariel, let's talk about first Barbos of Shalrashi and Rabbi Neger Shem Bal Basra. Okay, so where do they get it from, and how do they explain it? What's their makar, and what do they? Is it against the Bavli, like we just said, or is it against the Bavli, or is it an explanation of the Bavli? Like, where do they get this notion from? The truth is, let's just make one final methodological point, and that is, anybody who wants to say Kiddushei Kesef Drabanan, because of the reasons that I just said, and even without them, is swimming against the tide. So he has to have a very compelling reason. Our Gimel, the Mishnah says that Ishanik this begimel drachim, right? Why cause trouble, right? There's no evidence in the Mishnah, and as we just said, in all of the Bavli, and the evidence, if anything, is in the. Remember that the most ubiquitous form of kiddushin, certainly after Rav, Mangan, Amanda, Mekadesh, Bavia, and in our own experience, and in the experience of Jewish communities, pretty much for thousands of years, has been to be Mekadesh. I'm not saying it never happens otherwise, but to be Mekadesh with Kesef. Right? So anybody who thinks that Kesef is only Drabanan, is fighting against the evidence and experience and so on, and he's got to have either a very strong makar, right, or a very strong global conviction. Agreed? Ariel? Yeah. So what's it based on in the Rabosa Shirashi case? The Gemara in Ksuvas and the parallel Gemara in Gittin, right, and Baba Basra, right? And what does the Gemara say there? Yeah, can't hurt. What's the case there? Just for the record. Well, there are different cases in Shas, right? And there are two types. And we're not going to go through the whole sugya now. I'll mention for 1 second the alternatives, but again, when we learned Ksuvas a few years ago, we did go through the whole sugya because it's very important. Not just Rabosa Shalrashi, the other, each shita, how to read that Gemara, is very critical. Right? Both for Afkinu in general and for Kiddushin specifically the role of the Chachamim and Kedas Moshe of Israel and things of that sort. Right? But that we're just going to touch on for a minute because we don't want to get bogged down. But we're interested in the Kesef Divrei Sofer very, very specifically. Yeah. So what's the context? There are two types of Gemaras, and there are a few cases of each, namely. What's the case of Ksuvis and Gittin? Let's say, take it that way, Hasholeach. What are those cases? What do you mean circumventing? Is that the right, word? You have a situation where the get doesn't, where a get is being given, right, in such a way that, and then it's a get is seemingly being given and it's being undermined, midaraisa, let's say bitala get. Right, or the sugya in the beginning of Ksuvos, right? Mishum Prutzos, Mishum Tznuos, right? Yeah. And the Gemara, and it seems like even though the Minat Torah there's no get, we're going to treat it as if. And why are we going to treat it as if? Because we're worried about the fallout. We're worried about the fallout. It's a policy thing. Chachamim, for policy reasons. Right, we're going to intervene and make a get that midaraisa is not chal. They're going to make it chal, right? So again, part of the story is koach chachamim. We're going to talk about that for a minute. Also, you know, it's a massive, massive topic. You know, which we're not going to go into in detail, but it has something to do with that topic, right? So the koach chachamim is part of Torah, right? Imagine if there wasn't a koach chachamim. To be metaken, you know, to create drabanans, right? So that we all know, but here it's particularly ambitious, and that's what the Gemara calls it on. Miike, go ahead, midi. Yeah, meaning it's one thing to say that there are you can create an iser drabanan or a drabanan can be ma'akev. But the idea that there's no get minat Torah and midrabanan, we're creating the equivalent of a get and allowing her then to move on with her life and to ignore the Isurim of Eishes Ish and Mamzer and everything that comes with it, how do the Chachamim have the ability to do that? That seems way beyond their ken. They can't. They can impose it a vacuum, right? And they can create Dinei Drabanan. They shouldn't be able to substitute a matir. When there's no matir d'oraisa, they shouldn't be able to create one. If it's a hagdara, the Rabbanim may be even allowed to tell you you can violate something, but they can't create hagdaros that are against d'oraisas. Correct? That's the Gemara's question. Go ahead. Oh, so there are the Gemara, so now, depending on how you understand the Gemara, right, so there are two ways you could probably read it. Right, one is kol mekadesh adata drabanan mekadesh. Right, afkin rabanan kedushim minei. Put the emphasis on the first part, namely, there's always an implicit t'nai whenever there's a kedushin, and therefore mimela there is afkin rabanan kedushim minei. Meaning, there's an implicit like endorsement or ikuv that the chachamim have. That's how the Ramban and the Rajba read even this line or even this point. In the Gemara, right? So, and maybe it's based on Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Do you have to say it, or you don't have to say it because it's implicit? That's also an interesting argument. But the point would be, it's almost like the way some Rishonim say it: "Rahariat mukudashesli amenashi yirzu chacham." Okay, so then the Afkinu part is really not such a. I mean, again, the policy implications of it are still hugely radical, right? Especially the ones that are lamafreya. But if you want to know the mechanism, it isn't so difficult to, you know, appreciate that. It's a t'nai, right? Just like you can have other t'nai. This is an implicit t'nai, so it's mechudash a little bit. It's an implicit t'nai that also is contingent upon, right, a later development, namely Ratzon Chachamim, about, in the case of, let's say, Gittin, Lamed Gimel, and Ksuvis, Lamed Gimel, something that develops or unfolds later. So you might ask things like, oh, but isn't that like Breira? Or isn't it more like an Asmachta? You could ask those questions, but you could also answer those questions, so we're not going to get into that right now. Just know that that's an issue. But at the end of the day, the mechanism is highly understandable. And that's kind of how the Ramban and Rashba even read the next line, which is, go ahead, Tinach. Yeah, meaning, okay, you're Mekadesh with Kesef, and it's Almanas, implicitly Almanas Yirtzu Chachamim, and you either don't need to say, or you did say, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, right? And they are going to, you know, do that, you know, L'mafreya, even, right? Almanas Yirtzu Chachamim, Kol Hazman, or whatever. But in Kiddushei Kesef, that's a lot more palatable than Kiddushei Bia. The truth is, if you interpret like that, so then it's a little bit of a question, like, what's the big deal? Right? If the mechanism is Tanai, Almanas, again, I'm speaking broadly, there are nuances in how to say this, and I guess we're just not going to get, you know, we're not going to get drawn into the sugya. But let's say, generally speaking, in a way, if you read like the Ramban and the Rashba, that even the Kaspa part is based on a kind of implicit Tanai, so the question's a little funny, like, Tanakh to Kaddish B'Kaspa, the Kaddish, it's the same mechanism. It makes a difference if the Chachamim, you know, give their Ratzon or withdraw their Ratzon because the Kiddushin took place in, you know, in this kind of hall or that kind of hall or on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or with Kiddushei Kesef or Kiddushei Bia. It's the same thing, right? Meaning the Kiddushin was Amanah, Sheyirtzu Chachamim, so who cares? Right. So here what you have to add is that maybe what the Gemara thought, generally speaking, and most Rishonim who take this view say this, the Gemara was not speaking about the technical mechanism. The Gemara was speaking about the likelihood or the policy itself, meaning to be oker l'mafreya, to say the kiddushin which took place with by the giving of a tabas or the handing over of kesef, to say that igloy milsa l'mafreya, that they're not to the chachamim say, you know, we lo nisratza, you know, is one thing. But when it's kiddushei bia, and it means that they have to turn the maisa kiddushin, you know, into a maisa's nus, you know, are they really gonna, are they comfortable, you know, with that loose end? Or with that meth, you know, with, it's kind of an, it's sort of a, an it's a very interesting perspective, right? In other words, they have the mechanism, and there's very good reason to use this, you know, but nonetheless, they're going to be a little bit queasy, you know, I think that's the term we used a couple of years ago also, like the queasiness factor, you know, to use it. And then the Gemara's answer is kind of, no. What's the Gemara's answer? Shavu Rabbanan. Yeah, meaning they are queasy. We're not denying the queasiness, but they, you know, it's still worthwhile doing. And in the end of the day, they're going to turn that into it as well. If you interpret, yeah.
Any case of their mafkia kiddushei kesef, yeah, after they've already been married for a while, they're going to be...
Exactly. So all the Rishonim asked that question too. Excellent question. And again, you have to look at the Shita B'Kubetzus in Ksuvas. And again, that's also part of the queasiness factor, right? Meaning, Aaron's asking the question, in addition to the fact that the difference between, you know, the mode of Kiddushei Kesef and Kiddushei Bia isn't so different if it's Almanas Yirtzu Chachamim, you know, even if there is a queasiness, what I call a queasiness factor, so there's that queasiness factor in Kiddushei Kesef too. Because, you know, when the marriage is consummated and it becomes a physical relationship as well, so Igloi Milsala Mafreya, once you're Oker, the Kiddushei Kesef, that living together for the next 70 years, right, is, you know, has all been Be'iser. So that's pretty queasy. So the answer is that there's still a difference between like a frontal, you know, direct, you know, whatever, and an agav one. Right? That's one idea. Another idea, and this is something that some of the Rishonim speak about, and especially the Shidduchim Kabbalah, or some of the Mefarshim in the Shidduchim Kabbalah speak about, seem to be saying, which is an interesting question related to things we discussed earlier in the year, and that is that maybe there's a difference between... It could be that, you know, the be'ilos are be'ilos nus, but the gavra didn't do a ma'isa aveira. In general, that may be true, right? That may be true even in Kiddushei Bia, right? Or agav. In other words, does he have to do tshuva l'mafreya on all the be'ilos nus, whether the Kiddushin was bekesef or be'bia, right? Meaning there was a cheftza shel bias, these were cheftzas shel bias nus, for sure. The Gavra was an Avaryan in the area of Bias Nus because he was Kedasu Kedun. He's a tzaddik, you know, like you've never seen. Okay, except he made a mistake. He was Mevatel, you know, Gito, you know, in the presence, you know, Shalom Befanel, or Shalom Befnei Ashliach. Okay, got some bad advice. Or Ochre is Kedusha. So all of a sudden he turned into a Gavra Rasha. So if you look at Shidduk about Sing Silvis in particular, you know, they're like, you know, working with that. Like, does he need tshuva for that? Does it go on his permanent, you know, record? No, these are bios nus, but he's not a boel biznus. That gufa also may be a difference between the incidental ones, right, and the first one, which they frontally turn into. The other ones are like mimela, and this one is more frontless. That also may be another answer, but it's a very good question.
That would make him an Aryan for if it was a
Kaish. So I'm saying that idea that there's a difference between the Gavra and whether there's a Maisa Veira and or whether or not it's just disembodied. But also there's a Chiddush in that, like, we also care about being responsible for Bios Znus in the world. Otherwise the Gemara, you know, wouldn't have thought there was a queasiness factor either. There's a Mitzvah Haskell in that too. I'm just saying that might be the line. But, you know, I don't want to get too involved in it. Let's just leave it at that for now. Did you want to ask something? Or are you trying to buy the painting? Okay. I think this is, yeah. Anyways, I think I met your brother in Israel, by the way. I should send regards. I don't remember if I met anybody else's brother in Israel. Oh, Rashi and the Rashbam don't interpret that way. How do they interpret? Anybody know? Alex? About Tanakh the Kaddish Bekaspa? Might have been your brother that I met too. Yeah. Correct. So Rashi and the Rashi in the places, in Ksuvas and in Gittin, and the Rashbam and Balbasra, at least on the Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa part, say that not it's Amanashi Yirtzel Chachamim, and yet we thought that would be limited to Kesef and not apply to Kiddushei Biyah. But they thought like this, Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa. There's a mechanism. What's a mechanism? Hefker Bezdin, Hefker, because it's money. Right? The Kaddish Bebiyah, what are you going to say with that? There's no mechanism there. They don't have koach on that. Do they? Oh. So first of all, we should just make a note, again, without going into details of the sugya, but is it so obvious that you would say hefker bezin hefker in this case? Yosef? What do you think? I mean, Rashi says it, so obviously he's a pretty big authority. Okay, that is absolutely correct. I mean, because of what we said, because of Aaron's point a second ago, in other words. If you're mafkia, the kesef, right, the result is incidental, if not frontal, right, bios znus, right? So is there a koch hefka bezin hefka? That's an interesting question. That isn't so much what I was looking for, although I think that is a point. Yeah, Shmuel?
The fact that you can do retroactive.
Correct. The fact that there is hefker bezin hefker in Dini Mamanis is clear. It's a Gemara, right? The Gemara in Yivamos, Daf Tzadi, the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamed Gimel. Right? There's something called hefker bezin hefker. And it's very important. However, typically, hefker bezin hefker is mikan ulahaba. It's not lemafreya. Mez Chachamim can say the transaction that you're about to engage in, right, with this kesev, it doesn't belong to you. But if it belonged to you, b'shaito, the chachamim can be mafker your mom and the mafreya. The answer is, according to Rashi, it seems yes. Now again, this of course would help you a little bit with the differences between the two types of gemaras. Ariel, what were the two types of gemaras? We forgot, we kind of alluded to it, but we didn't get back to it, right? We have the gemaras like Sivas and Hasholeach, which are one group. What other types of afkinu gemaras are there? Well, you have the similar Shaka Vitaria, but it's a little bit of a different case. Tzvi?
Yeah,
I haven't called on Tzvi in a while. Tzvi? Yeah. We talked about it earlier in the year, but you might not have been here when we did. What? Yeah, exactly. Toli v'zavin. What's different about Toli v'zavin? What? It's v'kano l'haba, right? It's hu asa shelo kohogen, nasa lo shelo kohogen, right away. He's trying to be mekadesher through pressure, and we say we're not allowing it. So to say there, hefker bezin hefker, or almanash shelo yirtzu chachamim, is much, much, much easier. Which is why, by the way, just so you should be aware, right, the term kol mekadesh adat drabana mekadesh doesn't necessarily appear in that sugya. And this is the safek, or the discussion of the Bali Tosis. Do you need to say Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, right, in that case, in the Mekano Lahabah case? But either way, that's a much easier case to live with. It's also a much easier case to live with on a policy level. That if you can do Afkinu, but you can do it only if you're doing it Mekano Lahabah, you're not rewriting halachic history, both on a conceptual level and especially on a queasiness policy level, it's a lot more palatable. Right. Say people are, you know, they just had their golden, which is the golden, 50? No? Yeah? Yeah? Okay. The golden anniversary. And what is platinum? Can people have a platinum anniversary?
Diamond was 60.
What?
I thought diamond was 60.
Oh, diamond. Okay. So they just had their golden, right? So they just had their golden anniversary. And then all of a sudden, oops, they were never married. Right? All those anniversary parties. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, right, that's pretty, you know, that's quite a task. To say, hu asa shlogom nasa lo shlo kohogen, which is the Gemara in Balbasra and the Gemara in the end of Yevamos, right? Not the end of the world. At least no wasted time at the parties, right? Never mind, you know, the whole gift thing and, right? I see you're with me on this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Right. So, and that's why Bali tells us on the topic, do you say Kedas Moshe Vises, you know, in that case, and so on. Okay. So either way, the question of Hefker Bezin Hefker, Lamafreya, in the Gittin and Ksuvah's case is an important issue. But then Rashi and Rajbam kind of go on, well, according to their reading, if you can buy the Hefker Bezin Lamafreya, and by the way, I should note that the Hafla, in Ksuvos, you know, discusses this extensively. I'm sure other Achronim do too. Namely, that according to Rashi and the Rajbam, you know, it's not so simple to say Hefker Bezin Hefker applies Lamafreya, but they do say it. But what you gain from it, just give me a moment, is that you have a sharper Tanakh the Kaddish Bekaspa, the Kaddish Bebiya Ma'ika Lameima, in the sense that it's not just queasiness, it's in the mechanism itself. That's for the Ramban Rajba, those who say that even the Tanakh the Kodesh Bekaspo was Almanas Yirtzu Chachamim, so, like, what's the big deal of Kiddush Shebiyah, right? But, you say, oh, because the Yirtzu Chachamim, the Chachamim's Ratzon, you know, is more palatable on the Kesef and being Oker, a Kesef transaction than being Oker, right, a davar shebekdusha maisa bia shall ishus, and turning it into his nose. But if we're talking about, and that's, you know, but that's not so simple. But according to Rashi and the Rajbam, it's like this: tinach to kadosh bekaspa. Maybe the whole thing works on the basis of hefker bezin hefker, but hefker bezin hefker doesn't work in the case of kiddushe bia, right? And then the answer of the Gemara, according to them, may very well be no. It's not midin hefker bezin hefker, or there are two dinim. For kesef, it's hefker bezin hefker, and for kiddushe bia, it's amanas sheyirtzu chachamim, right? Or maybe in light of the fact that it's amanas sheyirtzu chachamim for kiddushe bia, maybe that's a good way to look at kesef too. Is it also possible to say that no, there is the equivalent of hefker bezin hefker in kiddushe bia because the chachamim have a certain special prerogative? Kedas Moshe of Yisrael, just like we saw for the Ramban, that they're like in charge, they're the tznius and the, you know, the kind of whatever squad, right? You know, in terms of, you know, Losia Kadesh of Nos Yisrael, right? The Ramban of the Torah said that, you know, this is addressed to Bezdin. So maybe in general, the sensibility of the Chachamim is like a critical aspect. But either way, the point is that for whether it's Rashi and the Rajbam, or for the Ramban and the Rajba, reading the Shakavatarya in Ksuvis is challenging, and there are questions, including one that Aaron asked before. And again, this whole question of, you know, reading Bava Basra and reading Gittin, you know, and reading them a little bit differently is an important question too. And whether you do or not, do not need to say Kadas Moshe of Yisrael is also an interesting kind of a question. All of that, as we'll see in a second, is an alternative to Rav Osef Shel Rashi, who had a totally different read of the Gemara, which we're going to get to in just one more second. First, there was a question. Who had the first question? Shmuel, yeah.
I was just going to say that even when Rashi is working after his Hefker, it's not classic after his Hefker, it's working through the foundation of the Tanakh, which is that the whole marriage is based on that Ravana.
Okay. Right. I'm just saying you can understand. The point I'm just trying to make is that Tanakh de Kodesh Bekasba de Kodesh Bebiya Ma'ika Lameimar is a sharp, more sharply understood distinction than it is for the Ramban and the Rajba. And so that's all I'm really saying. Why didn't the Ramban and the Rajba and those like the Rashi? Maybe they just felt that even with that augment, it's still Hefker Bezel Lamafreya, and that's just too much. We don't have that. It's not so poshut that such a thing exists. So it could be. Okay, so let's get to Rav Osef Shel Rashi, Ariel. So how do they read the Gemara? Again, Tinach de Kodesh Bekaspa. Because that's only Drabana. And therefore what? You can be Oker it? Or therefore you can just be Mevatel it? That's all, not so clear. Meaning Tinach de Kodesh Bekaspa, the Kodesh Bebiya Michael Meimar, is the sharpest ever. Right? Because Kiddushe Kesef is Drabanan, Kiddushe Bia is Doraisa. Right? But now, there are still two ways to explain it. So, Kiddushe Kesef, which is only Drabanan, so what? So, therefore, they could be Oker that Lumafreya. Kiddushe Bia, which is Doraisa, they can't. They don't have the co-op for that. Right? That's one way to read it. A better way to read it might be that what? That the according to Rav Osef Shel Rashi, maybe you don't need any Lamafreya at all. And then you're never revising history, you don't have the anniversary problems and so on and so forth, but rather. No, but okay, but what's happening here? What might you say? It's not so clear in the Rav Osef Shel Rashi that Rashi quotes. It's just a little. Read Rashi's take on it, if you don't mind. Ariel, go ahead. Which one are you reading, Ksuvas?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Shemati Kor Rabos Rabos and Mefarshim, the Kaddish Bekaspa, the Kiddushi Rabbanadin. Via Shalomar Ki, Kada, the Xera Shabahi, Kicha Kicha Misayafro.
Oh.
The Koralami of Xera Shabah.
Okay, so here just a moment of just a quick ha'ara, and that is that Rashi says two different things here. Namely, Ariel, what are the two different things? Connected things. No, the thing that you just read has already two components in it. One is, what are you talking about, Drabanan? It's derived from a Xereshava or a Hekesh, and that makes it Doraisa, correct? But he doesn't just say that, he says more than that. Read it again. Yeah. Oh. So what I'm saying, he doesn't count, he doesn't call it two things, but he slips in something else that is more than what he needed to say. He could have just said that kicha kicha is daraisa. Any hekesh, anything learned out from Yud Gimel Midos or whatever, is a din daraisa. Instead, Rashi reaches higher and says that anything that's learned out of a drasha is ki'ilu mefurish bakra. In theory, and this is what we're going to say for the Rambam, and you probably all know this because I think I've already mentioned it, but this is what I want to develop, is that. In theory, there can be. We could say that anything learned out from a drasha, or many things learned out from a drasha, are daraisa. That doesn't mean that they are ki'ilu mefurish bakra. There can still be added impact, in some cases, stature, to things that are mefurish bakra. this is our what I'm really going to suggest for the Rambam. I'll just explain in a minute, and that is, again, getting back to this Gilui Milsa question or the mode or method of deriving things. Does it ever matter? You could take two broad views, and of course, there's plenty of area in between the two extremes. Right. One extreme would be to say that the method or the way that we derive dinim daraisa per se, I mean, there might be some inner logic to it, some divine logic to it, maybe even some divine, nafkamina to it, but maybe it's not something that we should be, trying to delve into or to discover or to decipher. Maybe it's beyond, or maybe it doesn't have halachic significance, even conceptual halachic significance. And at the end of the day, what's important is what's daraisa and what's drabbanan, and these are gilui milsa. So if you derive something from a limud, it's the equivalent of being mefurish bakra in that sense, meaning it doesn't matter. The categories that matter are daraisa or drabbanan. Now, if the Rabbanu Shalom has a reason, for sure the Rabbanu Shalom has a reason why some things are mefurish bakra, some things are mefurish bakra in a mefurish way, and other things are derived from... Well, let's expand the discussion. Why are some things derived from Yud Gimel Midos and other things are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai or Kabbalah, Kabbalah. Or why some things derived from Gzeres Shavah and other things from a Hekesh and still other things from some other method of Yud Gimel Midos. Is that ever halachically and conceptually... consequential? That's the question that I'm raising. So one approach could be, whatever, we probably assume that there's a rhyme and a reason for it, a divine rhyme and reason, but whatever it is, it's not, there's no nafkamina necessarily, and maybe not even conceptually. It's gilui milsa, and this is what it is. The facts that something are daraisa are the equivalent. There's no separate category before Shbakra. But is that necessarily true? The answer is no. You could say that there is significance to all of these questions. Sometimes we can penetrate them and sometimes we cannot, or you can be makalik between them. Right? Maybe there's no difference between the method of drasha, but there's a difference between before Shbakra, or this kind of before Shbakra and that kind of before Shbakra. Right? So when Rashi says here, what are you talking about? It's a limud, so it's daraisa, and he says more than that. It's a limud, and therefore it's the equivalent of mefurish bakra. I think he's saying two different things. Okay, we'll get back to that and try to show that we've seen already, but we're going to try to show that for the Rambam, whether something is mefurish bakra or it's derived from a limud is consequential, even if they're both daraisa. Because why did the Rabbanu Shalom do it that way? And I'll explain what. It doesn't have to be consequential always in the same way, right? But it's consequential, this is what I'm going to say, in signifying that there is a hierarchy of some sort and that there's a reason and a rhyme. Yeah?
I'm sorry, if I could just clarify. So, for Rashi's purpose, as a raya against
Rabosa,
what's the point?
All he really needed to say was that it's daraisa.
Right.
I think that it tips his hand that he's saying more. He's saying, and there's no difference. You could have said it's daraisa, right, without saying that it's ke'ilu mefurish bakra. It's not mefurish bakra, but it's daraisa should be enough, for purposes of Tanakh to Kaddish Bekaspa. Now, again, I think that that's also because, possibly, although not necessarily, of how he understood her Bosa Shalrashi, but which we'll get to more in a second. But keep going. Yeah, go ahead. So that's question number one, or I'm saying 1A and 1B. Question 1A and 1B. Yeah? Go ahead. So the second assumption that Rashi is making, of course, is that if it is Drabanan, either if it's Drabanan, it's got to be Drabanan. I mean, there's no such thing as a mechanism that is Drabanan with a result that's Daraisa. Because otherwise, that's not a question. He either assumes that in general, or he's assuming that is relevant particularly to this application. Now, maybe Rashi will say, maybe the Rabosov could think in theory that there is a drabanan which creates a chalos doraisa, However, if that were the case here, it wouldn't solve their Tanakh to Kaddish B'Kaspa to Kaddish B'Biyamayik L'Meymar problem. Because here, it's not just about the mode, right? It's really about the chalos. I'm not so sure that that's true, but maybe, you understand what I'm saying? Okay, so the second point after 1a and 1b in Rashi is the assumption, generally, I'm not sure, or here, given the application, that if it's drabanan, then the chalos is daraisa legabe, the status of Eish HaSish, and the chi of Misa, and the issue of chulin lazar. Okay, keep going.
So he mishalina shavir rabanan vilaso vilasnos akorcha tzarcha tanafarish moshe perashi shakidushin akarin mehikaran.
So he's saying, and moreover, so there's a third point now, right? Namely, how do you read the continuation of the Gemara? Bishlomo, if you say something else, right? So, you know, maybe there's something we can do with the Kiddushei Bi'ah L'Maskona. But if the whole point is that you can only disrupt this Ishus because it's Rabbanon, so then what's the answer for the Kiddush? That's not such a strong question. I mean, Rashi thinks that you can disrupt Doraisas even in the Tanakh, the Kaddish B'Kaspa part. It sounds like what he's saying is, if the Rabosa Shirashi came up with this radical idea because of this Gemara, namely, because it really bothered them that you could disrupt the Daraisa in this manner, then how do they read the Maskana? Right? Okay, anything else, or that's it? Okay, keep going. So read that part, correct? Oh, so now he's answering. This is an answer to question number three, right? Namely, what are you going to do with, as I said, you could have said, oh, that's Rabosa Shirashi, you know, morphing into... you know, the more mainstream views to begin with, right? He doesn't like that. He's saying, no. What motivated this, like, incredibly extreme conclusion is avoiding that. So if we're really avoiding that, then we should be avoiding it. If you know you're going to get to it, then you might as well just interpret even the kusuf part that way, right? So now he says, however, some people will tell you that the pshat, what is the pshat that he's rejecting, but that obviously some people are saying for Rabosa Shorashi? That what? That it's not an Akira Lamafreya in Ochanami, but in? That Kiddush should be a what? Is what? Yeah, and based on the Gemara, which Gemara? Which says, Rav Man Gedamanda Mekadesh Bibia. So, the mainstream reading of Rav Man Gedamanda Mekadesh Bibia is, Noah, is what? Right? I mean, they paskin, policy wise, you shouldn't do this anymore. And if you do, you're going to get punished. But they didn't say, Pashtuses, they didn't say that there's an Akira Sakidushin. They just punish you for doing such a, you know, problematic form of kiddushin, given, right, the new reality, or the new policy, correct? How's Rabosa Shorashi going to read it, according to this view? The Rav Manged Amandu B'Kaddish B'Biya means he stripped it of its Doraisa Chalos, right, status. Wow. Pretty good. Right? An interesting. Can a chachamim do that in general? Does a chachamim have a right to take a doraisa? Do they have the power? Forget about the right. Do they have the power to take a doraisa and to strip it of its effectiveness? Again, a chachamim can make takanos. Right? Some people think that takanos or dine drabanan. The Nesivos famously says that takanos or dine drabanan are isure gavra. Why? Because he didn't think that the Chachamim have the ability, even on a Drabanan level, to create an Isur Cheftan, to make something, an objective Isur. Right? If they tell you that, you know, Tevel Drabanan, there's something called Tevel Drabanan, or Atitz, you know, Sheino Nakuv, or whatever, you know, so according to the Nesivas, they can't create a Chefza Shel Tevel, even Midrabanan. They can only say, don't eat this thing, you know, that is not Tevel at all, but don't, even though it's not Tevel, even Drabanan it's not Tevel, don't eat it. That's the Nesivas. In other words, Chachamim can legislate. They can legislate to do, and they can legislate not to do, but automatically, but it's a gavra that it's never, they can't create statuses or statures. Okay, not everybody agrees with the Nesivas. Okay, so the Drabanan can create statuses. Drabanan. But can the Drabanan undermine Hagdaros statuses d'oraisa? Can they do that? That's a huge, huge leap from anything that we know of. Right? But according to Rabbos of Shalrashi, seems like you could. So if the... there's a certain kind of, you know, interesting... if you put the two aspects of the Rabbos of Shalrashi together... in a way, right, what are they saying? If they really held, unlike Rashi, that, you know, a Kiddushin Durabanan creates a Chalos Doraisa, which Rashi is not prepared to think they hold. Well, let's say they held that way. Aye, so what's a Tanakh to Kaddish B'Kaspa? You'd have to say it's the entrance point. Meaning they can say, you know what, you know, this Kiddushe Kesef, we have access to the Kiddushe Kesef Lamafreya. If that was the Pshat in the Rebos of Shorashi, but in Ochanami, in a regular Kiddushin Drabanan, Kiddushe Kesef, it creates a Chalos Doraisa. Here it's also a Chalos Doraisa, but we have an entree to to a vulnerable point, right? To the initiation of this Kenyan. So then you have an interesting situation, especially if you had both. In other words, they held that Tanakh de Kodesh Bekaspa means Hey Mamru, Vehey Mamru, even though it's Doraisa, because you can attack it at its origin, which is only Drabana. So that means a Kinyan Drabana can create a Chalos Doraisa typically. And they're also saying, right, Afkin Rabbanan, the Kiddush, the Bilas, or Bilas Nuts, Rav Mangan, Amanu Mekadosh Bebiya, the Chachamim can disrupt, or they can be Mevatel, a Kinyan Daraisa, even a Kinyan Daraisa like Ishus. So then, the common denominator would be, if you take these two things, both of which Rashi doesn't like, right, but which might be Pshat and Rabbos HaShel Rashi, so then what would the common denominator be? A tremendous Koach Chachamim. Right, a chachamim whose power really overlaps a lot doraisas, because they can create a chalos doraisa, and they can be mevatel a chalos doraisa. Again, you could have been mechalik just one more second between those two things, even if that were the case, right? And in either direction, mashal ma davar dome. Is it easier? Are the standards required for Kiddushin higher or for Gittin higher? It's not an exact mashal. I'm just making the point very quickly. Or I'll give you another mashal, an even less good, even a less accurate mashal. But else, are the standards required for Kinyan or for Hakna higher? Right? We talked about that in Taluy V'Zavin, right? Taluy V'Zavin, Taluy V'Yayiv, Bala'itur, and so on. Right? In one case you're creating something, in the other case you're undoing something, or at least relinquishing something. Take Kiddushin and Gittin, right? To create an Ishus takes more, or to dissolve an Ishus. To create the Chalos or to undo the Chalos? In terms of Edikiyum, in terms of other things, Das Ish in the case of Get. Very hard call, and a lot of mixed evidence about the standards of Gittin and the standards of Kiddushin when it comes to such a thing. Similarly, if I were to ask, it's not the same. If I were to ask you, oh, the Koach HaChamim, right, if the Chachamim's Kinyan can create a Chalos Doraisa, does that mean that it can also be Mevatel a Chalos Doraisa? Like you'd say Rav Mangan a Mekadosh Bebiya, because you could say Tanah, you could say Kiddushei Kesef Drabanan creates Eishes Ish Doraisa. I don't know the answer. I think it could be Mechalik in either way. Meaning, is it harder to create the chalos hakinyan of the chalos ha'ishos, or to disrupt it. And by the way, my safek, you might be mechalek between koach hachamim and regular kinyanim, and you might be mechalek between the koach hachamim in creating ishus or disrupting or denying ishus. It doesn't disrupt. We're not talking about get. That's why I say it's not a perfect example, because get means there is a chalos ishus and you are disrupting it with get. Here we're saying you did a chalos, you did something which should create a chalos ishus daraisa, but we want the koach hachamim, we want to know if the koach hachamim can deny it, as opposed to can the koach hachamim create it. An interesting question. But it all sounds like if indeed these two things come together, both of which Rashi doesn't like, but both of which are possibilities for Abosa Shel Rashi, Tanach de Kodesh Bekesef, even though it creates a Kalos Doraisa, it gives you an entry point that initiated, and that's enough. The Kodesh be Michael and Meimer Shav, your Abad will also be Lesnus. The Chachamim can also, and did also, do the opposite. So then it becomes like not necessarily technically a losasser issue, but a losasser-like issue, right? Everybody knows that the Rambam says that losasser, right? You violate losasser even if you violate an iser, when you violate an iser drabbanan. And the Ramban argues against this. The Ramban says, only if it's drasha and things of that sort, but not a real drabbanan, sveik drabbanan lekula, sveik drabbanan lechumra. That whole discussion. Probably the Rambam himself, ironically, never meant what Ramban. The Ramban read the Rambam as saying, oh, the Rambam's mixing up the Oraisas and the Rabbanans. He's giving Koach Chachamim the power to create a Doraisa. Okay, I don't think that's what the Rambam means at all. If it were true, it would be funny that he, especially if he held that, Kesem Divrei Sofrim had Nafkamina. But, probably the Rambam means something else, and that is either the Mechayiv of Lasasar is something like Mered, right? Or the way I think the Rambam really means it accurately is the Rambam holds that if you violate a Drabbanan, you violate a Doraisa, but first you have to violate the Drabbanan as a Drabbanan before you violate it as a Doraisa. So it's okay. Either way, but the. There's a Shoel in the Rajba who also says something like that. He says, if you think that the Chachamim, like Yisurei Anah Drabbanan, Yispsulei Des Drabbanan, should be treated like the Raisas, what? Because you think that Losasar is implying here. So I don't know if that's a Pshat in Rabosa Shel Rashi either, but I'm just pointing out that if you put them together in a certain way, both ways that Rashi wasn't so happy with, it becomes a overlap of the Tchumim of Doraisa and Drabbanan in very dramatic fashion, although you could have been mechalik. Now I'll take the questions. We'll go around this way first. And yeah.
So earlier in the year, Rebbe mentioned the idealism behind the Kedushah.
Yeah, I'm going to get that in just a second.
And
I'll get to it in just a second.
Once
maybe it's something more specific, you're saying. Yeah, 100%. We're going to get to it in 1 minute, the Rabbeinu Gershon. When I mentioned earlier in the year, I mentioned Rabbeinu Gershon and the Malbash. Something much more specific. Not just that the Chachamim have the power to neutralize a Kinyan Drabbanan or a Chalos Ishus, a Kinyan Doraisa or a Chalos Ishus Doraisa. It's something very specific about Kiddushin. That's what you're saying? Yeah. So I'm getting to that in just one more minute. I think that's certainly the case for Benu Gershom, as we'll see. Yeah.
If we say that Pshat
Nebuzar
Kalarashi in Kiddushin is that, Rabban Gidaman Bekashabia, therefore,
The one that Rashi rejects, but
they prevent the Chalos Ishus.
That really seems to be their Pshat, even though Rashi doesn't like it. But yeah.
So what do we do with
Kiddushin Shtar? Oh, either way, that's a good question. Why? Because it's learned out from a drasha, you mean?
I mean, like the way that we dealt with Ketzel was because it's Minerva. The way that we dealt with Bia was because the specific.
Okay. So this is a question. That's a very good question. You're asking another very good question. But why? Let me ask you a question. Why is that a question more for Abosa Shel Rashi than for Rashi or for the Rambam or anybody else? Why does the Gemara have to zero in on on Kiddushe Bia more than on Shtar, let's say, according to Rashi, it's Hefker Bezim Hefker, Mimonoshach. If Hefker Bezim Hefker is applicable to the Shtar, right? Oh, he took away his ownership of the piece of paper and so on. Why are they asking only about Tanakh to Kodesh Bekas? Why not say Tanakh to Kodesh Bekas Bo Bishtar? If it's not, so then why don't they ask from Shtar and Bia? Why do they just ask from Bia?
If you say that really...
Yeah, why is this a question more for... Why are you asking this more for Abosa Sharashi than you are for the other people? That's all.
It's also a question for Rashi, but still, with Rashi, you could say that whatever answer you give for Bia, you could still give for Shtar, at least.
Because, or maybe not.
You know, Bia...
It's hard to know.
If you say that the Chalos just took place with Bia, but then we say, oh, you know... They could be,
their
abundance could turn into a...
Let's say it's Amanashi Yirtzel Chachamim. That's the answer. That applies to Shtar, too.
Yeah, that applies to Shtar, too. But here...
Right, I'm not saying, so where does Shtar... All I'm saying is it's a very good question, and the Rishonim asks the question. I just don't think that it's necessarily a much stronger question for Abosa Shalran. It is, unless you say because of the Drasha, per se, which is basically what the Rambam was asked. Meaning... This is a question that Rishonim asked. The Meiri asks this question. I think the Rivashana Tshuva asks this question.
In general, or and, to that?
In general. Like, well, that's the missing Tanakh to Kodesh Bekaspa, Kodesh Bebiya Michael, Meimar, Shavu Rabbanu. Where's Shtar in this whole picture? So the Rambam was asked this question by the Chachmei Eloniel in a way, kind of the way you're asking, if you want to emphasize it that way, right? More acutely. Now they said to him like this. Well, we'll get to the Rambam in a sec. But if you think, Rambam, that the Yisod here is the Drasha, the fact that it's derived from a Drasha, so isn't Shtar also derived from a Drasha? Yatzav Haisa? So why do you distinguish between Kesef and Shtar? That's what the Chachmei Eloniel asked the Rambam. We'll see his answer in just a minute, or a couple of minutes. But it is a good question. And maybe it's a stronger question for some more than others. But either way, it's a missing piece in the sugya. According to everybody, has to relate that question in some way or another. And the Rishonim already ask it. Yeah.
Does Rashi think
Hefker Bezin is Doraisa? Everybody has to think it's Doraisa. Hefker Bezin Hefker. It's because it's the Gemara Nivamas and the Gemara Gittin have psukim that teach it to you. Everybody agrees Hefker Bezin is Doraisa. What?
From
Nach, either from Yoshua or from Ezra, but the Gemara doesn't seem to think that matters. Now that you could ask that question in general. I mean, some of them do, you know, whether it's a different Kabbalah. But when the Gemara does say in both places that, you know, how do you know Hefker Bezin Hefker? And it seems like they treat it as a din d'oraisa. Either kolat shalayavo. Or Ela Hanachalos, what is it, Asher Nichalu Yahushua. So again, and the Rajba already makes the point, and then the Amshul Shlomo, and then the Achronim took it from there, that, you know, one seems to be a makar that talks about confiscation, and the other seems to be a makar that talks about even creating, you know, kinyanim. But as far as I know, even though the psukim are from Nach, it seems like everybody holds that Hefker Bezin Hefker is Doraisa, including the Rambam in Perek Chavav, Hilchos Sanhedrin. Say that again.
Rashi held that you were Kona something the Kinyan Darabanam, like Kolei Ben Maraz, like Sitamta.
Or Radbaz. So that's the question. That's a big Machlokas or Rishonim, like when Maimon Shloshtan or well, Kinyan Suri can't be anyway because of the Gemara and Dav Gimel. What?
Maimon Shloshtan is Hefker Bezin Hefker.
Yeah, so that I'm saying this is a big argument in the post-game, the Ksos and the Sivas. They link it up to things like, you know, they want to know whether Kiddushe, whether Kinyanim Drabanan work for Kiddush and Doraisa, Maimon Shloshtan, all these kind of Kinyanim, Agav, you know, things like that. And some of them say, oh, it depends on Hefker Bezin, it's an Hefker Bezin Hefker issue, and it's the question of, again, is it confiscation or is it creation of a Kinyan? I personally think that you don't necessarily have to look at it that way. But that's a big discussion. Ksos and Sivas and other poskim in Shulchan Aruch. Yeah?
The Rashi in Sivas doesn't think that as Rabosa ever explaining Kaddish Bibiya to say
that. Yeah, they don't think it's that.
Or only in Gittin.
In Gittin they do, and Rabbi Gershom, I think, does.
Right.
Yeah. Here they doche. They're doche. Yeah. So well, read the Rabbeinu Gershom one if you don't mind. And you're correct. You mentioned a Arenka. I'm glad to want to get in. Yeah. Babas. Yeah. And it sounds like what? Even Mikano Lahaba. Yeah. God? I came on, they can disrupt it. They can mafkia it. That's the question of the Gemara, which was, Mikin Midi de Midoraisa, right? And then the Rabbanim came along and whatever. If it's not Doraisa, then it's no big deal. Okay, keep going. What does it say? Keep going. Oh, so such he adds a few words. Number one, the chutzpah. Right, and it connects it to the fact that it's the Kaddish, which is brilliant in a way, but meaning it's the second part is an outgrowth of the first part, right? So what does he mean by that? So again, I have a theory about that. And that's what Shmo was referring to before. I don't think it's mochrach. I mean, it could just be, oh, this is the reason they made this takana. This is the reason they made that. You have an alternative. They made a takana, and so on. What I'd like to suggest Rabbeinu Gershom by saying chutzpah hu and connecting it to the Kedusha Kesev is that he's saying something that would explain the second part, at least, on a Doraisa level. Exactly what you said before, that I said earlier in the year. Namely, that Kedusha Bia, by its definition, is, you know, as they would say in Hebrew, govel, meaning it's on the borderline, right? It's always, you know, a kind of ambivalent, you know, ishus, as we've explained so many times this year, right? On the one hand, you could say the dea that bia nisuin osa, which, according to one view in the Magid Mishnah, the Rambam even paskins like, right? But either way, there's such a dea in the Gemara. There's not such a dea in the Gemara about kesef or shtar, right? As for chuppah, according to Rav Huna, you know, we've got Tosas or Rushes, but fine. It's a distinctive, you know, bia kind of a thing, and for very understandable reasons, because in a way it's, you know, it's the ideal of Kiddushin v'Nisuin b'Vasachas or pre, you know, Nisuin already, you know, in Kiddushin. If you can pull it off properly, it's going to be the best, right? At the same time, as we've already discussed, and that's why, you know, also why Bia, unlike Kesef and Shtar, can be Gomer, you know, after a proper, you know, Kinyan Tchila. At the same time, you know, for the, maybe according to some Rishonim, for the reason, maybe don't make a Birchas Erisin on Kiddush Bia, maybe the Yichud, you know, is different. Maybe it's, maybe you don't need, you know, Eidei Kiyum in the same way because of the positive function of Bia, because it just is Ishus. But also maybe, you know, there's no Bracha because there's an element of Znus or Erva. You know, there are elements, obviously, of jumping the gun. And the more you emphasize, as the Rambam did, the Kinyan part, or the Oser part. So again, pulling off Kiddush Bia in the proper way is even more of a challenge, as we discussed. Right? Because what are you going to say? You know, that it works, like you do Bia Nisuinosa, but there's no heterishus. That's kind of what we were talking about, right? Not only Hafaris Nadarim, Yerusha, and Tuma, the Amsa Shlomo discussion, and the Magid Mishnah Chaim discussion, and so on. So the point is that Kiddush Bia is a really challenging, you know, kinyan, and you walk a very tight rope between it being the ideal, davar shebekdusha vishus, and undermining what we want to accomplish through the chidushim of Matan Torah, of distinguishing Erison and Nesuin and requiring any kiyum, and making it, especially according to the Rambam, right, the oser that ends up contributing to the mat here. So, just one more second, maybe what Rebbe Gershom is saying is that the Chachamim's perspective on this, right, is a Doraisa factor, and the alternatives are a Doraisa factor. In other words, before there was Kesef, you know, so Kiddush Biyah was perceived in a certain way. And before Rav was Mangid Amanda Mekadesh Bibiyah, which according to Rebbe Gershom is also because of the alternative of Kesef. It's hard to know which came first, you know, whether they just came together. Meaning when the decision was made, people are not successful at pulling off, you know, this fine line, right? So then to ignore the Chachamim's view on that, right, is not to be involved anymore in Kiddushei Biyah Shel Kiddusha. Chutzpah hi lo, it's a mechutzah kind of a thing. Let's remember also that, right, when the Gemara said, Rab Mangin Amadim Kaddish Bibiyah, that same Gemara also discusses, what are the two things? Isaac?
Shiduchin and
Shuk. Shiduchin and Shuk. And at the Rambam, what? Lumps them together and suggests that they're part, that they're kind of an extension of the din of Kadesha. Right? So even though the Rambam does not, and this is very important, we'll get to this in just a second, interpret like Rabbeinu Gershom / Rabosef Shel Rashi as Rashi admits in Gittin as he denies in Ksuvis, namely that that's what it means, because Rashi says Rab Mangin and Makadish Bibi. Who has the Rambam open for a second? We'll just take time in a minute. Avram, got it? What a kaf aleph is it? What is Rab Mangin and Makadish Bibi? We saw it earlier in the year. What? It works, but the Eved, just the Chathila, also, and you get punished for it. Anybody have it open? Alex?
How about weird?
Yeah. The Chathila. Yeah. But is it Chal? Absolutely. So, but the point for Rabbeinu Gershom, maybe it isn't the din and the koah, the general din. That's what, that's what you want to say, right? That it isn't the general din and the koah chachamim, you know, vis a vis, you know, the Raisas and Drabanans, we'll call the Tishtusha Tchumim, the kind of the confusion of the barriers and the borders between Daraisas and Drabanans, that's not the point. The point is something very specific about Kiddushei Biyah and its unique, you know, challenge. Right? Again, when the Gemara, as the Gemara points out, the Gemara in Ksuvas was discussing, you know, what about Shlichos and what about, you know, what about Tanai? Maybe there's no Tanai because there's no, of course there's no Shlichos. You know, or, you know, when we say Iska Shavayis La'adadi, you know, does that put it all to rest? Or is that another way of saying, yeah, there are these huge differences, but nonetheless, you know, we're still applying some of the dinim of Ishus to Biyah, even despite the differences. And then you'll still get echoes of the differences, as we know actually exist. Okay. So that might be the other way to interpret in a way, almost like the, you know, Shvus and Drabanan for the Ramban Ala Torah and Shabbos, or Yom Tov. Similar kind of idea, but specifically regarding Kiddushei Biyah in this particular sense. Okay. What about the Rambam? Oh. So now the question is, what about the Rambam? So the evidence, of course, is Perek Aleph, where the Rambam says that Kesef is Midivri Sofer, right? It's the language here. Likuchin and Mitzvah Seshal Torah, Bechon Nigubot Dvar Menikneis, we heard before, Bekesef B'Shar B'Biyah. Everything is fine and good. Then the Rambam adds, B'Biyah B'Shar B'Nan Torah, Bekesef Midivri Sofer. Okay, that's the language. But then he goes on and he says, "Likuchin Elohim and Kiddushin Erison B'Chol Makom," right? She's Mekudeshes Muresa. She's an Eshesis. She's Chayav Misa. All that stuff, and the Rambam makes no distinctions. Nor does he make distinctions any other place in Yad HaChazaka when he talks about the violation of the marriage or the obligations of the marriage between Kesef and Shtar and Biyah. So there are two ways really to explain that, right? or three ways to explain it. One is, as we said before, the Rambam's relying on saying kesem and divrei sofer. He's saying, okay, but you apply it, even though, again, it's hard to read the words. Kiven shenikneisa isha v'nasas mikudesh apishalim devav lo nechisa hareish asisha balachu chayv misa. When he's saying all of this, nisha nikneis bechad megimel dvarim, it's very hard. But one possibility is it's hard, but it's required. It's implicit in the word midivrei sofer. We gotta take each one out. It means midrabanan, right, and so on. Or second alternative. Assuming that. What are you asking? The second assumption. And now.
Meaning within the first of the halakhot that it's derban when it's closed here, right? No.
That's what I'm about to say now. The first one is that it's drabanan and it's a chalos drabanan, and it really is ikar chasam and a sefer. I don't believe it, to be honest. I'm just telling you that some people obviously do. The second one is that it's fine to read the rest of the Rambam because all he's saying is that the Maisa condition is Rabbanan, but he really does hold, right, something which Rashi didn't think that the Rabosav Shel Rashi held. I'm not sure about them either, as I said. And that is that there can be a Chalos Doraisa, a Chalos Isha Doraisa, even with a Maisa Drabanan. Right, Alex? That would be the second. That would explain why, when it comes to Ish and Misa and Karbonos, in the case of Shkaga and so on, that we still treat it as a Doraisa, and these Nafkamina don't get registered. Okay, that would be the second pshat. The third pshat would be to say that the Rambam, when he says divrei sofrim here, does not mean drabanan. He means that, it's a different level. It's derived from a drasha, and it's a different level, Doraisa. So this is a massive machlokas. Most of the Nosa Kelim Alatar certainly think that there's a chalos Doraisa. The Lecha Mishnah holds, we'll get to Lecha Mishnah in just a minute, actually. But most of the Nosa Kelim Alatar thinks that there's at least chalos Doraisa. Some of the Mefarshim even hold that the Rambam believes that Divrei Sofrim here is even a Maisa Kedusha Doraisa. But in the bigger, world of Rambam interpretation, as we know, this is a massive debate. The Sefer HaMitzvos, Shorash Beis, and there's so much been written about this that nobody can even keep track of it. The problem is that if you look at the evidence in the Rambam on Divrei Sofrim, broadly speaking, if you did a computer search and you put in Divrei Sofrim with the Rambam, you look at every single one, there are some that are unequivocally Doraisas. There are some that are clearly Drabanans. And there are many where you just can't penetrate whether it's Doraisa or Drabanan. Okay. So, the question is, what do you do with evidence like that? We don't want to say the Rambam's inconsistent, because the Rambam was a consistent thinker. So, what is going on? Okay. So, before we get to that, it's not only in Perek Aleph, there's also Perek Gimel. What's in Perek Gimel? Halacha Chaf. Here, there are different gear cells. Amakadish Mabia, Arele Kiddushe Torah, Behem Bishtar, Miskadeshes, Mina Torah, right? Kishem Shigomer Megare, Shinem Rav Kosso, Sefer Kriz Kakomer Machitz. Avla Kesef, Midibre Sofrim. That's one gear cell. There's another gear cell out there, Avla Kesef, Midrabanan, or Midivrayam, sorry. And then there's another girsa that says, V'chein din ha-kesef, din Torah, u'peirusho, here we have it, Frankel printed it in parentheses, V'chein din ha-kesef, din Torah, u'peirusho, midivrei sofrim. Let's see, the shinui and the scholars here, what does he have? Can I remember? Ayin la'el, of course, I thought he has the... No, I guess in the back he has it. Okay, I'm not going to turn. That doesn't really matter so much. Kesef midavrei sofrim, kesef midivreim. The Rabbi Avraham Rambam says that the Rambam changed his mind, that he originally thought it was kesef drabanan, But, you know, he saw the light, as it were. And, you know, the right girsa should be Kesef min haTorah. The most intriguing girsa, of course, of all, is... Well, Kesef min Devrayim sounds like Drabanan. Kesef min haTorah is Kesef min haTorah. Fine. whether he changed his mind or not, Ram claiming that that's the girsa and he changed his mind. Divrei Sofrim, it gets you to the quagmire. What does that term mean? But of course, the most intriguing one of all is the one in parentheses here, right? Kesef din Torah uperusho mi Divrei Sofrim. Like, what does that even mean? Okay, and why is the Rambam telling us that? Yeah.
Something I haven't understood, just in general, how come we don't take when, like, Rambam says that the Rambam says something?
How come we don't assume that's true?
That's just like,
well, we'll see in a minute. You'll tell me. I mean, again, Rambam was Rambam's son, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, default, we would assume he knew that it's what his father said. But he was a young son, you know, and, you know, he did some traveling, you know. And here and there, there's some indication. He doesn't always say that he knows it definitively.
What he does, I'm saying. It seems what? My father changed his mind. It's a pretty strong...
Well,
I know that for a fact.
In this case, this is going to be a great case. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the year. We talked about...
Yeah.
I don't believe... It just doesn't work, frankly, what he says about the Rambam Shita, about Nisuin and Kiddushin. Right?
Did he say it as definitively back then?
Pretty. But let's take this one. We'll discuss. We're gonna
make it work. I'm saying it's not that
awesome. Yourself.
Any of these things just don't work. They're a little more. It's a little more strict than the words or whatever.
All right. So let's say it this way. Rabbi Avraham and Rambam. No, I understand the question. I people have accused me over the years of being like, you know, particularly mean to Rabbi Avraham and Rambam. And it's not true because I give him like a lot of, you know, I applaud his. His dosh, and cholev and what do you call it? I applaud it, and many other things that he says, but yeah, I think in some cases he really got it wrong. I think the objective, overwhelming evidence is that he got it wrong. In this one, I know he got it wrong. How do I know he got it wrong? Because who would be more authoritative than the Rambam's son when he says as a fact, this is what Papa said? The Rambam himself?
No, but not if the Rambam changed his mind.
One second. That's true, right? Right? That's a good point, right? And by the way, you know, I think Rambam would really appreciate the fact that you're sticking up for him. So the loyalty part of it is something which is a very good thing. But there's only one problem. There are two issues here on the table. One is, did the Rambam change his mind? And number two is, when he said Kesef midivrei Sofrim, what was it based on? Okay. Now, as far as the changing mind is concerned, you've got a point, right? But as far as the what is it based on part is concerned, Rabbi Ramana Rama says what? You can be a loyalist, but you have to have seen what he said.
What is it based on? Where
did the Rambam get it from? The first version. Before he changed his mind, according to Rambam. Let's take the world view of Rambam to Rambam. Where did he get? What's his Rambam source? The Gemara in Ksuvos. Tanakh Tekadosh B'Kaspa, Tekadosh B'Yemai Kelameimar. However, the Rambam himself, in a tshuva to the Chacham Elunil, who asked him what question? Where's Aaron? What question did they ask him?
Why do you say that there seems to be a parallel between Kesef Kedushin Shtar and that they're both lit up in the Ksuvos, so why do you say that?
See, but you're a humble guy. I like that also. I'm like learning things about people all the time. You could have said, my question. But you didn't do that. Right? that's a Midah Tova, right? Your question. I could say it because the Chacham Elunil asked the Rambam the same question that you asked before. If you really think that Kesef is Medivrei Sofrim, why don't you also think that Shtar is Medivrei Sofrim? Correct? So the Rambam, in that answer, we can read a line in a couple of minutes, says, Mordechai, what does he say? Oh, you didn't see that. I mean, you read what the son said, but you didn't read what Papa himself said.
But I trust the son, because the old stuff, that was the old stuff. I don't know.
No, but first you have to read what the father himself said. So he said, by the way, said the Rambam, right? Did he say this or not? Don't think that I got my shita from the Gemara in Ksuvas. Right? I got my shita from, or my shita is an outgrowth of where? That's the answer to the star question. There are two different points here.
Sure.
You're right, but that not to the answer of what I'm saying. I got my shita from Yoni? Shorish base of Sefer HaMitzvos. Right? Rabbi Avraham Rambam said, my father didn't get the... This has nothing to do with Shorish base. Right? This has to do with Ksuvas Av Gimel. Who else said that? Again, you know, I like Rabbi Avraham Rambam. I just want this on the record. So, he's not the only one who said this.
Which one was it?
Shinun, is it Shinun Hayat? Yeah, that's what I said it was, yeah. So Rabbi Avraham Rambam says, father didn't, it's nothing to do with Drash Shos in general. It's the Gemara in Ksuvas. If the truth is not a theory, you could say that you read the Gemara in Ksuvas that way, because kind of Rashi was accusing Rav Moshe Rashi of that too, although we don't know. But the point is, Rabbi Avraham Rambam said, it's not based on the, it has nothing to do with Shorish Beis, it has to do with Ksuvas Dav Gimel. Who else said that to do with Ksuvas Dav Gimel? The Ravid. The Ravid in Perek Aleph says that the a sugya out there, Hitahu, right, misled the Rambam. The Rambam was misled by his reading of a sugya. And then in Perek Gimel, it's even more explicit. What does he say? Omer Avram ein pirtza gedola mizu pirsh meshuba sheshama betonach v'kadosh v'kaspa. V'hu hitahu b'zeh v'im kol zeh lo yohay litos lo yohay lichtov. We know what got him. How'd you get over there? But did you give Joey back your seat?
Joey transported
me here. I missed this for a week. But the basically, he says that's what misled him, but it's inexcusable. Right? So in other mafarshim, it doesn't matter, once we have a bunch, we know. The Rambam said, it wasn't the Gemara in Ksuvas. This is an outgrowth. What's that?
The Rambam said it's not the Gemara in Ksuvas.
Yeah. He said, put it this, he said it is my shita, nothing to do with the Gemara in Ksuvas. This is my shita about drashos, and we have the language. Adam?
I'm defined as something
else. Shorish Beis. Yeah. The Ramban quotes the tshuva. Exactly what Rambam and Rambam said it's not is what the Rambam said it is. So that's why, if you ask me, no, is it still possible that he changed his mind? Maybe, but he definitely got the ratio wrong. Yeah. That's what he says. That's what Rabbi Ram said. It's not true. But, and I, so what do you do now? Let's talk about Micha's point, right? Which is, so what's it, what does that have to do with, how do you explain the star problem? How do you explain the star problem, Micha?
The Gemara in Daftez is mashma, star is derais.
Yeah, how's the Gemara mashma that?
Because it says it uses it as to be the derais, a case of.
The Gemara says, how do you ever find Nar Marasa? If you hold, the Gemara says, how do you know that Kiddushe Bia is a standalone Kenyan? Maybe the way to read the Pasuk is, Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uva Ola. So then you would say that Kesef needs Bia, Bia needs Kesef. So the Gemara says, so where will you ever get the institution of Nara Marasa from? Right? Because if you need both, then she's not a Basula. You have to have Nara Marasa who's a Basula. Correct? So the Gemara says, no problem. Right, Micha, why? What do you have it? Star. And what's the language of the Gemara, by the way? The language of the Gemara, when it says that? Who the Kesef, Star, Machnes, Star, Motzi. So that's a standaloneer. That's how the Rambam says, because the Rambam also adds in the Tshuva, right, that it's true I have this doctrine about the Drashos, but it's also true
that there are some exceptions to that rule, correct? You want to tell me other? I'd love to say shtar midivrei sofrim, says the Rambam.
If I had
my druthers, but I'm impressed with the Gemara in Kiddushin. Yeah. But where does he say the line about it? This is there are exceptions. He says that three or four. That's a little bit whatever. But he says that this is the rule, except when the Chachamim tell you it's not.
Yeah. That's in the Shavas, what he says.
Right. Right. But there are exceptions.
Yeah.
So you can ask the Rambam like a really hard question here, and that is, what do you mean there are exceptions? How can there be exceptions? There are two questions you could ask the Rambam. One is the question that the Ramban asks him from the Gemara in Kiddushin. Micha, what's the problem? What's the problem with the Gemara in Kiddushin? Daf Tes on the base. The Rambam says, "What do you want from me? It's a Gemara." He doesn't say it that way. He said, "I got it from the. I would have said Shtar's Midivrei Sofrim, but the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tes on the base proves tells me otherwise." So what does Ramban say about that? Yeah. You're right. You don't even need to see it to know the problem. But the Ramban asks it. Ramban says, I don't understand what the Rambam got from Shtar. What, l'halacha, we paskin that kesef requires bia, bia requires kesef? And the only thing that works as a standalone d'oraisa for Nara Marasa is Shtar? Right? By the way, it also would seem to imply that the Rambam here does think that if the Maisa had been Drabanan, that there wouldn't be a Chalos Daraisa. Right? Because, well, let's say Shtar is Medivrei Sofrim equals Drabanan. So, if you were reading it that way, I don't think they'd read it anyway. So there couldn't be a Nara Marasa? Or you think, oh, the Torah wouldn't be speaking about that case. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe. Funny to think about. But either way, the Ramban's question is, that was a Havamina. La halacha we paskin kesef lechud works bia lechud like the habamin in the Rishabim in the right beginning of the sect. It is, right? Kesef works alone, bia works alone, shtar works alone. Kesef is midivrei sofrim. Why shouldn't shtar be midivrei sofrim? Right? I mean, why is shtar have more yichus than you need something for nara marasa? So why does shtar have more yichus than kesef? They both work alone. If you thought that the pshat in the pasuk is that kesef, so that the only thing could be is that the only thing left is shtar. But there's no raya lemaskana, is there? You freeze frame the havamina? Well, again, it's another validation of what we do. But I'm going to try to explain it in a second. Like, what's going on? By the way, the Rav Avram's idea, Rav Avram and Rambam's idea, which is that the Rambam got it from Ksuvis, right? Mina Rabosa Shara. This is not 100% proof against. Again, Rambam doesn't mention even Ksuvis. Rambam's challenge doesn't mention Ksuvis at all. By the way, how likely is it that the Rambam got it from Ksuvis, I mean Tanakh, the Kaddish Bekaspa, when, as we've already noted, the Rambam avoids Afkinu Lahalacha as much as he can? Right? It's not Mr. Afkinu. So that's the makar. Either way, did the Rambam interpret the Seifa of Ksuvis like Rabbeinu Gershom / Rabosov Shorashi? Did he? No. That's what Isaac read before. That's Halacha Chabalif. Rav Mangan Amanda Mekadish Babiya means it's also the Chatchila. You could say, oh, maybe the Reisha, but not. Okay. The point is, Rav Avram and Rambam seems to have been speculating here. Does that mean that he's wrong in what he says about the Chazara? I can't know for sure. In the Gir Sos that we have with Fanenu and the Rambam, at least, and in the Tshuva, which was written later, he's certainly not being chozer, and he's not being apologetic. And if it's based on on the Shirashim and not based on reading the Gemara and Ksuvos, well, why would he be Chozer, frankly? Right? And even if he was Chozer, put it this way, there was a time when the Rambam wasn't Chozer, when he was still saying the stuff that he was saying, which we need to understand. Now, again, the other Girsos, just one more second, I would add, you change the Girsa from, let's say, it seems like the Rambam really did change. You have to really check, I guess. They have these Rambam manuscripts. Somebody said that now they have manuscripts of the Rambam in the Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Limited engagement.
They've Jerusalem exhibit from like 1,000 to 1,400.
How long does that go till? We should take a class trip. But Shua's not here. Shua got drafted.
Yeah, I went the other day. They have a few.
Is it good?
They have a few out of letters that he wrote, and then one Mishnah Torah that he wrote, but somebody else decorated or something.
But his ksav. Ksav,
yeah.
They have good handwriting?
Yeah. I mean, if it wasn't the illumination person who then did it after, then did a very good handwriting.
So somebody told me.
The menorah is quite simplistic.
The what?
The menorah is quite simplistic.
That's what I saw in the New York Times.
Yeah,
they had the pictures of the menorahs. You could draw also.
And of the four plan of the what's it called?
That's a little disappointing to me because, it makes it inexcusable, I guess, for the rest of us.
On the sign underneath the Mishnah Torah, it said, "The Rambam, a famous mathematician and philosopher."
No.
Yeah, didn't mention anything.
Shame on them.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. But is it still going? Yeah.
Yeah, until like January or something.
Okay.
That was Rambam and Rambam's view of the Rambam.
The what?
That was Rambam's view of his father.
Khalil. If it would, it would puzzle him completely. We'd have to even reassess the Shabbos. Anyways, it's like the whole, the Rivet Booker for you writer thing. Anyways, So when a person changes his nisuach, which the Rambam... somebody told me once that they saw in the manuscript that, I think it was displayed also in a different part. In the Israel Museum. I should have gone now and checked.
Isn't there a story about Sherbach in the Vatican where he took the caveat of this?
Oh, somebody said they went to the Vatican, yeah. Rabbi Blech, maybe.
Yeah, it was open to the right page or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It was open to the different cell phone. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he saw exactly. I have to really find out. But anyways, the point is when people change, apparently Rambam did change his nisuach. We know that he did it in a bunch of things. We know he changes Pirush Mishnayos now and then. I mean, the Rambam, tweaked things. But you can change your nisuach, for one of two reasons. Right? Either you change your mind, halachically, or your view, or you tweak what was your view. Right? So, again, even if he wrote, Midoraisa, let's say, I don't necessarily think he changed his view because I don't really think he ever held it was Drabbanan. But especially the Girsa that we have here between Perek Aleph and Perek Gimel, where he has, Hilchoso Dorai, what is it? Hilchoso, how does it go? What did we say it was?
Din Torah of Perusha
The Chen Dina Kesav Din Torah, right? U Perusha Medivre Sofrim, right? That's the best. What does that mean? Oh. So I think the idea is as follows. The Rambam wasn't influenced by Ksuvos Gimel. A, that whole Gemara, he might think is Shalom Kalacha. B, he didn't paskin the Rav Mangid, the Seifa part, like that. C, he had plenty of opportunity in the Tshuva to say that's his Makar, and it's only about Kesef. He could have made the same diuk that Aaron uses a question, right? Why I didn't say by Shtar? Not because the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tesson days, or at least Binosaf. He could have quoted both. Isn't it interesting that in the Gemara about Tanakh de Kaddish Bekaspa, wherever it appears, it's a few places in Shas, that the Gemara is Tanakh de Kaddish Bekaspa, Bekaddish Bebiya Ma'ika Lameimar, right? And Shtar Man de Kar Shemei. No one says Tanakh de Kaddish Bekaspa de Bishtar, right? And he's telling you that's not my Gemara. And Rav Rama is telling you it's not as different, it's not Shorish Base. He says it's not Shorish Base, it's the Gemara. Rambam himself says it's Shorish Beis. Oh. So what's really going on? So I think what's really happening is very simple. But again, a little complex simple, if that's not a scheme. Meaning, the Rambam, looking at the broader evidence for the Rambam, but they're very Sofrim, it's mixed. So instead of what people have done is,
over the history of Rambam, you know, interpretation, which is, you know, take one or the other and have a lot of difficulties on their hand. What I think is that this is just a function of the Rambam's view about the relationship between Torah Shabbosav and Torah Shabbat. Or again, I'll, you know, as I've said before, and you know, that lecture that I'm, you know, one day going to give, but really we're giving it all the time, which is Torah Shabbosav, right? The best perush ever on Torah Shabbat. Meaning, unlike the view of Rashi and the Bali Tosis often, which is that either we cannot penetrate, fathom, or decipher, or, you know, we need not, because all that's important in the end of the day is the Giluye Milsa facts of the halacha, but the methodology of where the particular halacha is derived from is not necessarily, right, a conceptual or halachic factor. I think consistently the Rambam thinks that the way that Torah Shebitzav, or the way that we learn halachos, or the formulation in Torah Shebitzav, that there is one, what it is, where it is, and so on, is a critical piece of evidence in how we know it and what its status and stature is. I mean, the Rambam, as we know, right, sometimes has his own drushas that we can't even figure out where he got them from. Sometimes he picks Yerushalmi or Midrashim or Midrashei Halacha, Makoros instead of Babli ones. Like, why would he ever do that? The answer is because he, again, based on global evidence, he thinks that's what it is, the real Makar. But why is it important? Because sometimes the actual Drasha or the Makar or the fact it's a Drasha or which Drasha matters. Maybe in terms of the stature of the din, or just conceptually how we understand that particular din. We talked about Nida earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Why do we talk about Nida? Oh yeah, because of the Rambam in the Rambam Shita about Chuppah, you know, being Chuppah Roi Labia, and then we discussed Ein Chuppah, Rambam Patsins, Yesh Chuppah Rada Lepsulos. So I mentioned one possibility is maybe the Rambam's Mechalik between Nida, or things like Nida, and other, you know, Psulei Kuhuna, in the sense that Nida is Erva, right, even though it's the exception in terms of Tfisas Kiddushin. So I mentioned then, you know, the Rishonim in the beginning of Yevamos, and especially the expansion of Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar, and I contrasted it with the Rambam. The Rambam, even when he accentuates the differences between, right, Nida and other Chayvei Krisus Ervas, oh, he says, Nida afapisha ervahi, afapisha rayasi. Right? When he's talking about Mamzerus, when he's talking about Tfisas Kiddushin, meaning the Rambam was impressed about the fact that Nida appears in the Parsha and Achrimos of Erva, whereas Rabbeinu Tam, for example, right, says, you know, that's a Gili Milsa to teach us that it's Chayev Kares, but it's not an Erva. And that's why in the Ibum, right, it's, you know, it's not treated as an Erva. But what I'm trying to say, basically, is that the Rambam paid very close attention. We talked about Ayin Tachas Ayin, right? And the Rambam's comment in Mor Nebuchim, that really, really on some pshat level, it is mamish, even though the chachamim, even though the halacha says that it's mamo. Right? We tried to explain that that's been misunderstood. The Rambam isn't waffling in terms of the halacha and its authority. What the Rambam's trying to say is that on a certain level, it's important the Torah itself wrote it as if it was mamish. And if you look at the Rambam's comments in the beginning of Hilchos Chovel and the way that he read the Gemara in Bava Kamma, it's crystal clear what he means. What he means is that even though it expresses itself in mammon, it's not compensation. It's a kind of pidyon. It's blood money, meaning it's you should really be losing your pain for the eye that you don't, that's not getting poked out. You're not paying, you know, you are paying, but you're paying for that rather than for, you know, just the, you know, the busha or the loss
It's not nezek, it's kind of kofer. This is the Rambam's general view. The Rambam really cares. That's why the different methodologies, different thing, different Kabbalah. I'm going to stop in a minute. The Rambam cares about all of this. I'm going to finish up now. We'll just talk another couple minutes on Sunday. Basically, what's the pshat in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Tes in the days? Let me finish with that. The Rambam didn't know that it was a Hava Amina. Of course he knew. The Rambam was saying, listen, in the Hava Amina of the Gemara, when the Gemara thought that Kesef, right, requires Bia requires Kesef, the Gemara had to acknowledge that there's one thing that's going to stand alone. What's that? Shtar. And we don't pasken that way, the Halacha, because Kesef stands alone and Bia stands alone. That is true. But isn't that a fascinating idea? The Gemara really thought that Kesef requires Bia requires Kesef, but Shtar can stand alone? Like, why? The answer is because the Gemara says why. Right? Because why?
It's okay.
Kesef, motzi, Kesef, machnis. What do they mean by that? And why didn't they just quote Viyatza V'Haisa?
Star.
Sure. Why? I mean, Star. Why didn't they just quote Viyatza V'Haisa? And by the way, when the Rambam in Per Gimel talks about this hierarchy, he also quotes exactly the language of that Gemara. He doesn't quote Viyatza V'Haisa. Right? He says, Hamakadosh should be really kedusha Torah. V'chein shtar mitzkadesh espo minat Torah. K'shem shegomer megaresh shenemer v'kosav l'sefer krisos kach gomer machnis. It bothers me. Why did he just say Viyatza V'Haisa? Other places he says Viyatza V'Haisa. Is it a coincidence that that's the same Gemara in Kiddushin that he quotes in the Tshuva Rechach Milonil to make this justification, which is really only a Havamina? I don't think so. I think what's going on is the Rambam is saying the following. There is a hierarchy in the methods of Kiddushin. Each one has a different focus. And that's clear from the Gemara. What the Gemara was saying was, you know what? Kesef might need Bia, Bia might need Kesef. Why? Because Kesef is too mamoni. It's too much of an import. It doesn't have an Isha's character. It needs the Bia. Bia without the Kesef is too much on the borderline of Znus. It needs the Kesef with it to show that it's Kinyan, that it's commitment, that it's whatever. But Shtar is the perfect balance. Shtar is motzi, so it's machnis. It's a kinyan. It's not too much ishus. It's not too personal yet, ahead of the game. But it's not a dini mominis kinyan. It's an ishus kinyan. It's an Ebenu Ezer kinyan. So if there's going to be one of the three that's going to stand on its own, it's going to be shtar. So the Rambam says, right, that was a havamina in terms of whether it stands on its own. But in terms of showing you the hierarchy and the fact that the different darkei kiddushin work differently, that's still true. And my view of divrei sofrim, or kesef mi divrei sofrim in particular, is all about that. It's to explain how come the Torah didn't write explicitly kesef. Why did they get a key? Why did they import it from dini mamonis? Kicha kikas so much trouble because they don't know our pshat about the raiva that it's only, Maris HaMachpela, and the idea that it's, Sada, and even more so Maris HaMachpela. Everything we discussed, whenever that was, a couple of weeks ago. It's not so obvious. So, why get into trouble? We need to kicha mistaffer, and people say, oh, you're buying a field, you're buying a wife. The answer is, it's very meduyak, it's a hierarchy. On the one end, Kesef is ubiquitous and it's critical and we start the Masechta with it and it highlights Kinyan, right? But it isn't Ishuti like Bia. So if you look at Rambam's language, both in Paragim HaLacha Chav and in Pirshim Mishnayis and in Sefer Mitzvos, he doesn't quote the three ba-ba-ba like in Parag Aleph HaLacha Gimel, right? Three ways, Kesef, Shtar, Bia. And then it will say, okay, two Daraisa, one. Each one is formulated in a slightly different way. And Bia, he emphasizes Mefurish Bakra, each time. And then he says, Shtar? Sometimes he says, like, here, Gomer, why are you saying Gomer Ma? Because it isn't the Limud. The Limud part would make a divrei sofrim. It's the fact that this is an internal one. It's an Ishus one. Mamon is even Kinyan from outside. which in a way makes it more, even as it's less. So I think that Gemara in Kedushin, even though we don't exactly paskin like that line, tells us something that, to me, now, one more comment that we end for today. How can it be an exception? Talk about the bigger question for the moment, in shorter space, right? If you learn things out from a drasha, it's divrei sofer. And it might have impact whether you count it in minyan mitzvos, but there are some exceptions. What do you mean there are some exceptions? If the drashos only have an ability to create a drabanan, why should there be exceptions? And how do we know the exceptions? Reconstructing backwards from the halacha, from the Gemara, from what the rabbis did with it. Like, how could that even be? Or like, this example is a great example. Because the Gemara, the Havamina, therefore the shtar is not called Divrei Sofrim. But it's still learned out from a Hekesh. The answer is, because per se, we're not saying that if you learn out from... Sometimes, and this is the bigger answer, sometimes there's a difference between something that's Mefurish Bakra and also the way that it's derived. Sometimes that difference shows you that we're dealing with a Drabanan. Maybe a Drabanan that is Kein Daraisa, or that's just one step removed from Daraisa. Many Divrei Sofrim is a Drabanan. The fact that they're learned from a Drasha shows you they're like an application of the Daraisa, but they're still Drabanan. Equally, there are, there are some Divrei Sofrim that are totally Daraisa. But what we mean by them is that the fact that it's not Mefurish Bakra is consequential conceptually or maybe even halachically, but if not halachically, at least conceptually. That's what Kesef is a great example of. And Shtar here, to call it Midivrei Sofrim, would miss out on the fact that it too is a different part of the hierarchy and it is an Ishus Halacha, not an import. So are there exceptions? Yeah, because the real principle is that it matters. It's consequential where you get it from when there are alternatives. Yeah?
It sounds like that in the Shuba, because Rambam says he's bringing the Shuba for Shtar, so Shema Amina should be a call Shtar to my math. It's not saying Shema Amina should have Shtar, right?
Yeah, right. I agree.
Also, in terms of the Debbie Silver point, isn't the central difference there in the Shoresh is whether the limud being learned after the Midos is also Kabbalah or not, right?
Yeah. Correct.
So it's not necessarily a difference in what the Hekesh, what the Midos is trying to tell you about the din. It's just about whether it is Kabbalah or not. That's just
No, but what I'm saying is in the tshuva by linking that with Kesef.
No, I'm not saying the tshuva. I'm just
right. When you put it all together, it's much more than that. Right. Okay. So that's the general idea. I want to still talk about what some of the Mefarshim say about the Rambam, and I want to talk just a little bit more where you see this. I gave you a couple of examples in the Cheshita and in terms of Treifa and Tumas Meis. So I want to talk about that, maybe talk about Lav Shabbat first for another minute or two, and then we'll move on to the other stuff.